Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
Hi, I'm Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us today. Today at the cafe, I'm excited to have Nick Panwar, CEO of Team Knit and serial entrepreneur here in the studio to discuss building a business from concept to sale. Nick, welcome.
Thank you so much, Angelo.
Well, to get things started, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and Team Knit if you want. We want to go too detail on some things because we're going to talk about that, but give people a perspective and an overview of who you are.
Yeah, I'm a CEO and co-founder of Team Knit. Team Knit is a collaboration and team management suite which combines the most important features of managing your team and collaborating with them. And this is an all-in-one tool which helps companies to talk, work, engage, and share the information with each other. I started that company about 3.5 years ago, and before that I had another company which I sold it for $2 million as well. That was an IT company in the UK and Dubai. And then before that, I used to work for big corporations like Microsoft and some in the UK and Middle East. So that's all about me.
All right, fantastic. You must be looking over my notes because you've already answered a few of my questions before we even got started here. But I always ask this question with all my guests to start, and that's, when it comes to growing your business, and we can focus on Team Knit right now if you want, what keeps you up at night?
I focus a lot on the employees, you know. The biggest issue is if your employees are not happy and trained, you know, you're not going to have a loyal customers. Because most of the people, what they're worried about is getting more customers. But who is bringing them on board? It's your employees, right? If they are happy and they are trained in a proper way, then they can look after your customers. So I focus a lot on the employees, those who will be looking after my customers. So when we grow, my biggest worry is, are my employees trained to look after this growth, you know, look after all these customers, those who are coming in? And especially, I relate to TeamNet. We've grown very, very fast from about $300,000 revenue to $6 million revenue literally in 1.5 years.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So you can understand that, you know, how important it is to have the wonderful team.
So you opened up a different door, so I'm going to go through it and talk to you a little bit about your thought process or onboarding process, if you will, when you're looking at an employee. You find a great employee, you've screened them, you hired them. Now what happens? How do they get ingrained in your business to make sure that they're delivering on all the brand promises and the things you're just talking about to make sure they keep your business moving forward? So what's that process you use?
I mean, usually during the interview, we have to make sure that, you know, they understand our vision. Because it's not about people that, you know, those who are doing whatever they want to do. It's all about, because they don't understand your vision, this is why they do whatever they want to do.
Okay.
But if they understand your vision, and then we have a fantastic atmosphere at the place, is that, you know, we ask our employees to bring their children if they have no one to look after them instead of putting at the nursery, you know, and they work with each other, help each other, instead of rather than this is my role, this is my role, this is, you know. Obviously, my company hires most customer service people. So for them, they need to be happy themselves, mm-hmm. before they, you know, talk to the customers in a happy mood. So for me, it's very important they understand your vision, right? Our vision is very simple. You stay happy at the work. So you can, when you talk to our customers, you talk to them in a happy mode.
Okay. Yeah. So really creating that kind of energetic environment. I know I did some work with Purina in St. Louis, and they used to allow, you know, the employees to bring their dogs. And so there was always dogs around. Actually, I was making a presentation one day, and I had a dog who was wagging his tail underneath my foot the entire time, and I was freaking out. I asked about cats, because I'm a cat lover, and they said they can't control cats. They just kind of wander around the office, so they eliminated the cat idea. I have another question before we kind of get in some more meat. And this is a new question I'm going to start asking all my guests. What is the best business advice you ever received from somebody?
Never give up. You know, if you believe in yourself, never give up. Because this is one of the biggest problems with the people is that, you know, my question is always, if you don't believe in yourself, how can you expect other people to believe in yourself? So the first thing is, you never give up. And if you never give up, it means you believe in yourself that one way or another way, I get what I want. So that's the best advice that I always give it to people, that, you know, giving up, everybody can give up. But people, those who never give up, they are the ones, those who are successful. You look at all the previous entrepreneurs, you know, Steve Jobs and all these people. They were not successful at the first place. They, you know, had a hard time getting there, what they wanted to do. But because they never give up, so they reached where they are now.
So perseverance is, I think, the word where we can probably coin here today. It's, you have to be you have to persevere and continue to push. I've been fortunate. We've met, you know, we've had some conversations. My first business I started when I was 23. It started and ended when I was 23. And that might have deterred a lot of people, but to me it gave me a taste, and I really wanted to pursue that. And it was only 7 years later that I started my second business, which I was fortunate to grow and eventually sell. But there were so many times, I think to your point, if I didn't have that confidence and that perseverance, I'll use my word, to really want to achieve, you know, I could be in a completely different situation right now.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned in your opening, I'll just read it. So you started off, I think you said you were a marine engineer.
Correct.
Then you went on to business school and you went to work for some large companies. And then your first company was an IT company that you mentioned in the opening. And I think you started in the UK.
Correct. Yes.
So before that, you weren't an entrepreneur. So when you woke up that morning and said, today's the day I'm going to be an entrepreneur, what prompted you to make that change from corporate, I'll call it corporate America, or corporate UK, to becoming your own boss?
That was a whole process, because when I was working for all these big companies, what happened was that, you know, I was coming up with a couple of ideas, and then those ideas got really successful in those companies. And then I started thinking, I'm coming up with the idea. I'm the one implementing it. I'm the one executing it. And it's getting successful. Why not do it myself?
Okay.
So it took me about nearly 1.5 years to understand that, you know, what I'm doing at the moment for other companies, I should be doing it for myself. And this is how I started my IT company. That IT company was not just a software development company. It was all the banks were outsourcing all the IT people to us. So it was on our payroll. It was an outsourcing business, but it was very unique. I started with 3 people and ended up with 79 people. And then obviously I sold that one, and then I started this TeamNet.
Okay, and when you sold it, I think just to put it in perspective, as you grew from 3 to 79, you also expanded countries and your services. So for those entrepreneurs listening today, and kind of a guide and a lesson, when you started this business, you identified because you were doing stuff for corporations, and you identified a need because you were building and solving those needs for customers. But as you owned your own business, started to expand, how did you go about identifying, you know, what the market really wanted so you could add those products and services to keep you growing?
Yeah, I will relate to the TeamNet is when I was working myself, I was facing literally the same problem. I had a lot of tools to work with. So most of the time was checking these tools. And the other biggest problem we had was, you know, a lot of duplication, which was wasting our time and everything. So this is the way I thought that, you know, why we can't have just one tool that, you know, which replace all these tools, because we are paying for all these tools, and plus, you know, it's wasting our time. So I got this idea, and then I thought, okay, fine, I'm facing this problem, but are the other people in the world, are they facing the same problem as well? And then we conducted about over 300 interviews.
Okay, nice.
But I didn't do these interviews. I asked someone else to do it for me, because if I were be doing these interviews. I would be selling this product rather than taking the feedback.
Yeah, yeah. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. The problem sometimes with entrepreneurs is they fall in love with their product. So either you're selling or trying to convince people that everything you're doing is correct, as opposed to listening to the customers. And that's a great insight for those that are listening. If you're going to go out and do some market research and talk to your potential customers, if you're the founder, the creator of the product and service, let somebody else do it. Doesn't have to be a big market research company, but somebody else that's, and that eliminates potential bias, because that's one of the things, my background is in market research as well, and one of the things we always strive for is how do we eliminate bias in that conversation? Consistency, and by taking that, otherwise, you know, I got up, I had a bad day, and now I'm, you know, bringing that to work with me and interviewing people, and, you know, so we got to really pay attention to all that. So it sounds like the idea for TeamKnit came together when you had your other business.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And then, so you were fortunate, you sold that IT company, and then, so right away you went into building TeamKnit, and you said that was 3 years ago, a year and
correct,
a half,
yeah,
about
three years ago.
Okay. So that really came from practicality, in a sense that you were experiencing it, you were using these variety of tools, and to your point, why not just build one that's comprehensive that can solve all these problems?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I always think about is that, you know, you need to solve the problem, right? And that there's a difference between solving the problem and giving a luxury to your customers. Giving a luxury to the customers sometimes become very hard to sell, right? But if you're solving the problem, then it sells itself. I mean, I call this one, there's one word I use, which is hyper-pollination. You know, this is the word took TeamKnit from about 100 users to over 10,000 just over in a few months.
Wow.
You know, because people were using it, and then they're bringing other people on board, and then they were using it, and then they're bringing other people on the board, and all these things. And again, like coming back to the one simple point that I like to make a comment on, because I didn't do the interviews with the people. And I always tell people, two people in the organization or your startup shouldn't be conducting the interviews. The people, those who build the product, and the people, those who are going to sell the product.
Okay.
Because yeah. The people, those who build, they fall in love, and they actually try to create a problem when they are talking to you. And the people, those who sell the product, they don't listen to your problem. They try to sell you. So when you take these things two things out, you usually have a good product.
Okay. Well, we'll spend just about a minute on this. I don't want to go too far off, and people want to learn about TeamKnit. We're going to tell them how to find that later. But this is a collaboration tool, right, between different people. What are some of the pieces that make this up? So, you know, I use a variety of tools, and I'm looking forward to actually becoming a user of TeamKnit. I think you and I talked once before, I mentioned Jira, which is kind of in the engineering world, we tried to use it in the organization that I was with in marketing. Didn't work at all. very difficult. So talk a little bit about the kind of the elements, the toolkit that you put together in TeamKnit, and how those pieces ended up in there.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, looking at in order to understand why we put these tools together, I give you one little philosophy that we did it when we did the research. We come up with this philosophy. It's called SEEK, which is communication, execution, engagement, and knowledge sharing. If you improve these four things in your employees, they become more productive. So then you look at the average day that each employee does, what they do. They have the communication, right? Then they go and do their tasks or projects. And then they, in order to do these things, they need the right information. And then in order to get the right information, they have to collaborate with other people. You know, sometimes not necessarily that, you know, you have this information, you have to go out to someone else as well. And then the other thing is that, you know, you have to be very engaged. And when it comes to the engagement, means you need to know the vision of the company.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we did. We put the communication module, then we put the task and projects module so you can do your job. And for knowledge purposes, we give you a knowledge management system as well. And then for employee engagement, we give you a social kind of a platform where you can upload all the company information, and they can people can you know talk to each other.
This is an internal kind of social platform,
internal,
right? Not Facebook and all that, but it's internal.
Yeah, absolutely. It's internal. It's like a company's own Facebook page where people can upload their videos, audios, and especially HR policies and all these things.
Okay.
Because what happens when you get a lot of emails, everybody miss all these emails. But every single day, you want to look at what is going on. You know, if you have a platform like this, at one point of time, either your lunchtime or after the work, you have a look at it, so you're up to date.
Okay. So thank you for that.
You're
welcome. Sounds very exciting. I love it. And I think for those listeners out there, if you need a collaboration tool, you should check this out. But let's take it a little bit further. I called you a serial entrepreneur in the beginning. You've now got two businesses, but I also know you have others. So when you look at investing or starting other companies, I'll pick on investing because that's kind of some of the things you're doing now. Instead of starting a whole bunch of companies, you're investing in a bunch of companies. Number one, how do you find them? How do you vet them? Let's start there.
Yeah, one of the companies that I invested in that has a very fantastic history behind it, and they were actually my suppliers, and they helped us grow business, and the company name is Boundhound.
Okay.
And they helped us so much that in the first month, we got about 80 appointments. And I said, okay, guys, I need to meet these suppliers. And I went out to them and I told them, okay, guys, listen, what you guys are doing, I'm interested. So they said to me, okay. I said to them, if you tell me and I'm convinced, I will invest. And I ended up investing about $350,000 in that company. And they told me they're using several tools to get the persona of the customer and then target and they get the appointments for me. And I asked him, I said, why you are using several tools? He goes, okay, because we don't have the tool. I said, how about we build the tool? You know, combination of all these things. Again, similar model like a
like
TeamNet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we build the tool, and the very first month, we had over 100 customers using that tool. And Team is fantastic. And again, we were talking earlier as well that, you know, it's not about more about the product. It's all about the jockey.
Right.
That, you know, is this the right team? Is it the team that you're going to take this company from zero to million or billion dollars company? And I work with all these co-founders. You know, I invest a lot of time in there, make sure that I understand them, make sure that we have the same vision, and I make sure that, you know, and they can do the job. So, and then how I find them, I'm part of the different angel groups. I go out into the different pitch competitions as well and everything. But now I'm going to start completely new idea.
Okay.
Where we going to have co-founders and executive team separate, because as an investor, your biggest problem is not the product, because product can be developed, can be changed and improved. But can you change co-founders, those who become the executives? So I'm going to differentiate now here between co-founders and executive teams, because make sure they don't fall in love with their product, they sell the product, and they try to solve the problem. So this is coming up very soon, and we have the event on 29th of March as well. We will talk a little bit more about this platform as well.
Okay. So it sounds like you're not just writing checks. You're involved in the business and helping and guide and making sure that the business you're investing in, that they're successful and growing, versus, you know, some people, they write checks, they invest, and they still leave it in the hands of management, and, you know, it's out of their control, and they're hoping that they'll have those kinds of successes. And so it sounds like you're kind of the opposite. You like
yeah,
to stay involved.
I'm very much involved. I have over 18 years of sales and marketing experience. I have sold several products, so I know that, you know, how to sell, you know, how to do the marketing and everything, you know, kind of, that, you know, obviously everyone is learning, you know, no one is perfect. So yes, I'm very much involved. You know, I do the marketing strategy, I do most of the things, and wherever they need my help, I do the introductions as well. That out of first 100 customers, and they got about over 60% customers that I did the introductions to them. And so, yeah, I'm very much involved, and this is the, I like that, you know, the business should grow.
All right, fantastic. There was a recent interview I saw with Mark Cuban, and he said that for new businesses, focus on getting customers, not chasing the money. What's your thoughts on what he said?
Well, absolutely, he's right in some way, but I have a little different opinion on this one, that, you know, before chasing customers and chasing money, you have to make sure that your product is market fit, because this is the biggest issue for all these entrepreneurs. They fall in love and they wake up from the sleep and they feel that, you know, now we are, this product is solving one of the biggest problem on the earth, which is not the case. And you need to make your product market fit. And I use a similar strategy with the TeamNet. We given it to a couple of companies and then we stopped selling. They started using for 4 or 5 months. We understood what they are using, how they are using it and everything. And then we changed the product and then we went out to the customers. So when you have market fit product, you get the money, you get the customers. But prerequisite is your product has to be market fit.
Okay. And I'm a huge believer in that. And we talked a little bit about that earlier, is really going out into the marketplace and understanding there's a demand, right? We entrepreneurs, and I've been in that situation before. I was involved in the action sports industry for a long time, and I created a research company in there. I was so enthralled with what was going on. And I remember I was a couple years in on a 13-year run, and the CEO of OP said to me one day, he said, you know, I love the work you're doing. Are you making any money? And my answer was, well, no. And he says, well, then this is just a hobby for you. And if you're not going to make any money, I suggest you stop. And I was insulted at first. Then I thought, he's right. I mean, this is great. I was sucking money out of the other company I was growing to funding this one. And so I kind of changed my perspective as not to fall in love with some of the work that I was doing. And I've been fortunate to actually help some products come to market for other companies and also kill some products through the research and doing market investigation. And I think it's so right on what you're saying. So we are coming to a quick close, believe it or not. So this show is about business growth and different factors that can impact it. We've talked about a wide variety of topics. So what are your final two recommendations or suggestions you can give to the listeners that are thinking about launching a business today, and your advice on how they should move forward?
Yeah, the first thing I would tell them is to follow the proper procedure. That, you know, you got the idea, validate the idea first. You know, validation is very important. And then once it's validated, then you move on and listen to people rather than you just do it yourself, because businesses are built based on the teams, not the individuals. Not a one single person cannot build the business. It has to be the team. So try to get people around you and you listen to them rather than you telling them what to do. And one of the finest quote that I always remember from Steve Jobs is that, you know, it just doesn't make sense. You hire smart people and you're telling them what to do. You're supposed to be, they're telling you what to do because you hire the smart people.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes you have a smart co-founders, but there's always one person who's very dominant. He says, either my way or there's no way.
Yeah.
You know, so try to be as a team and work as a team rather than just be individual. And trust me that, you know, when you take these things away from you, all these fascination about your product and the thing that, you know, I'm right, you know, you get successful. You know, because we are human. It's our nature. Every time we want to be right, but unfortunately, that's not the case. In fact, 95% we are wrong. We are only right at 5%.
All right. Well, I was 5% right in having you on today. This has been a fantastic conversation, and I'm excited. I hope the listeners really enjoyed it. And because we all think we want to start businesses, and some of us have. And to your point, it's, you know, you got to step out. One of the things Cuban said in his thing is, first step is to do it. You know, you can't start a business unless you take that first step. So, fantastic. Nick, why don't you tell the audience how they can contact you and learn more about TeamNet and all that good stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they can contact me on my email address, which is nick@teamnet.io. And I'm happy, as I said, that, you know, I'm running the business, I'm investing into different businesses, and my goal is to invest at least 10 new companies by end of this year, you know, along with my partners. I believe that, you know, I can not only just write the check, but I can bring a lot of other things as well. And one of the things that, you know, I'm very proud of is that, you know, I have a good eyes. When I look at the things, I kind of figure out that, you know, whether it's going to work or not. But obviously, again, at the end of the day, I'm a human. Mm-hmm. I can make mistakes. But I'm happy to talk to the people, those who want to start the businesses. They have fantastic ideas. And I'm happy to invest those companies, those who think that, you know, they can be unicorns or, you know, at least they have fantastic skills.
All right. Well, fantastic. Thank you again. And thank you for joining us at the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, or watch the show videos at theponzagroup.com, or certainly connect with me on LinkedIn. And you can subscribe to the show at thebusinessgrowthcafe.com. We are now on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and many other platforms around the world. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.